We're talking about the shield of faith today. We're continuing our series in Ephesians. And I've found this paraphrase version from Tom Wright. So I thought it'd be good just to read a different translation so that we could have a look at that together. So I'll read that. It's the New Testament for everyone. And so it is a paraphrase version, but we'll read it in this thing. So it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on God's complete armor. Then you'll be able to stand firm against the devil's trickery. The warfare we're engaged in, you see, isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the leaders, against the authorities, against the powers that rule the world in this dark age. Against the wicked spiritual elements in the heavenly places. For this reason, you must take up God's complete armor. Then, when wickedness grabs its moment, you'll be able to withstand, to do what needs to be done, and still be on your feet when it's all over. So stand firm. Put the belt of truth around your waist. Put on justice as your breastplate. For shoes on your feet, ready for the battle, take the good news of peace. With it all, take the shield of faith. If you've got that, you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray on every occasion in the Spirit, with every type of prayer and intercession. And that's Ephesians chapter 6. And so we're looking at this series is all about, as Dan mentioned, about standing firm. And as I was preparing for this afternoon, I just couldn't help but look at that word, finally. Because we're at the end of this letter. The Apostle Paul is in prison at this time. He's been in prison for 2 years. He's more likely chained to one of these centurions that he's talking about with his armor. So he knows what it's like to suffer. He's in prison because he's been accused of causing mayhem, basically. That's what he's been accused of. And his accusers have said he's been causing mayhem all over the world. I mean, exaggeration par excellence. But they don't want him. They want to silence him. So he's been in prison for quite a number of years for no reason. But having said that, he's not in a dark dungeon anywhere. They are giving him a bit of freedom. But this finally... I couldn't help but just want to just go back for those that haven't been part of seen the earlier weeks that we've been looking at this armor of God. You know, chapter 1 to 3 of Ephesians is all about Paul talking about reconciliation and unity. Reconciliation of God with his people, reconciliation of us to him. And he's talking about unity because the Jews and the Gentiles are bringing their faith together and they're struggling. They're struggling with it. The Jews want the Gentiles, those are non-Jewish people who believe in Jesus, to take up different aspects of the Jewish religion. And they're combining their faith. So Paul is talking in the book of Ephesians about how God is creating this new humanity, this one humanity out of the two. And that is what happens when we come to faith in Jesus. We join this new humanity. That we are one in Christ, that we're reconciled with God, and we're reconciled together. And in chapter 4, it says, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So chapter 4 to chapter 6 is Paul explaining what this new humanity looks like. And he talks about putting on He talks about taking off and putting on. So this new humanity takes off lies and puts on truth. It takes off anger and puts on peace. It takes on generosity. It takes off gossip and takes on encouragement. It takes off revenge, but takes on forgiveness. It takes off promiscuity, but takes on self-control. And it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So this book is all about putting on a new self. This new self of this new humanity, what this new humanity looks like in Christ Jesus. And so then we come to chapter 6. And as we've seen in the past 3 weeks, we've had the belt of truth. I've put that as who we are. Let me just actually go down. Thank you, Eric, for that slide. We've had the belt of truth. So Paul is explaining this armor that he can see before him every day. And he's telling the believers in Ephesus and around the area that they need to put on this belt of truth, this truth about who they are, because it holds everything together. He's telling them to put on righteousness like a breastplate. And I love that translation of Tom Wright, because it talks in quite a number of places in the Bible, justice and righteousness are interchangeable. So God's righteousness is God's justice. And I love the thought that God's justice for us was that he came down and he sent his son to redeem us. That's his justice for us, to set us free. So we're to put on this belt of truth, this breastplate of righteousness. And it talks about us putting on, having our feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. That peace that fills our hearts and minds when everything seems to be falling around us. That peace remains. And the Jesus that we love is the Prince of Peace, and he fills us. So those are our clothes: truth, righteousness, justice, and peace. That's what we wear. And that's what Paul is talking about. But he's putting it in a military image. And that's a little bit challenging for most of us, because we're not used to, as Christians, looking at things through this military imagery. But there's something that God wants to show us with this military imagery, that he wants us to see, that we face struggles. We face battles. And I mean, I don't need to look around. I know many of you here, and I know the battles that you face every day. We face battles, don't we? And God wants us to know that we face an enemy. So, he says, in addition to all of this, in addition to the truth that you fill your heart with, in addition to the righteousness, never picked up a weapon, God wants us, we need to be aware that the Word of God, this imagery, his verse 1, God, to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 1, God says to Abraham, don't be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield. I am your very great reward. In Psalm 18, verse 30, it says, he is a shield to all who take refuge in him. And in Isaiah 59, let me read a few verses. It says, the Lord looked and was displeased, but there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal in a cloak. According to what they have done, so he will repay wrath to his enemies. And you skip down. God's solution is in verse 20. It says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. So God himself has this armor, and he uses that imagery. And so when we look at this as the armor of God, this is God's armor giving this armor to us. He's sharing his armor with us. But his solution in battle was to send Jesus. The Redeemer will come to Zion. And it goes on about that my spirit will fill, my spirit who is on you, and my words I've put in your mouth will not depart from you. So God wants us to see this. In Romans 13, verse 14, it says, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. And that is what we're doing. By the Holy Spirit, when we read the Bible, we're allowing his word to penetrate into our hearts, allowing him to speak to our hearts and minds and lead us. So what is faith? What is faith? Isn't that a $64 million question? If you could bottle it, I'd be a billionaire. But the point is that, well, let me ask you, come on, you've heard me. What is faith?
Trust.
Believing what you cannot see.
Hanging your hat on what isn't quite there.
Hanging your hat on what isn't quite there yet. Any more? It's based on evidence.
Yep.
Okay. If anybody's got any questions, speak to Eric afterwards. Thank you, Eric. We could look at scriptures. Thank you, Nancy. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Other translations put sure about what we do not see. But what does it come back to? It comes back to the Holy Spirit whispering things in our hearts and leading us forward. Us walking with Jesus. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about some of Christ. We walk with Jesus. We have a relationship with him. As we pray and seek him, he will inspire our hearts. He will lead us. He will speak to us. He will go before us. That is faith. That is faith. Having confidence that when the Holy Spirit whispers something in our ears, that we trust and know. I mean, I've put here, so what is faith? It's trusting and knowing God is a good Father and that he will do what he has promised. You know, if I said to my son, I'm going to pick you up, or I'm going to take you somewhere, or I'm going to do something, I'm going to send you some money, or I'm going to be there for you, then he knows that bar something awful happening, that will happen. It will happen because he knows what I'm like. That when I don't make promises that often, but if I promise something to that, then I'll do it. And that is what God is like. When he promises something, he'll do it. And you know, the thing is that we all need those promises. We need to hear the word of God. We need to spend time in his presence, listening and praying. Because one of the things that he sends, these fiery darts. Oh, where is it? Oh. The flaming arrows. In many cases, these are the unsought thoughts that we all have of doubt, of disobedience, rebellion, lust, of malice or fear. We all face the onslaught of thoughts that we might think, well, I'm not good enough, or I'm not a very good dad, or I've failed in this, or I've failed in that, or I've not done this, or I've not done that. The onslaught of our minds. And that is not God. God does not send those thoughts to us. When we face criticism that hurts, that goes deep, God does not send those darts to us. And this shield of faith is something that we can stand behind because it's not in ourselves. If you think that you can stand in your own strength without God, without the presence of God, without him working in your life and there with you, just put that thought out of your mind immediately. Because we can't. We just cannot. But with God, we can do all things. You know, even the rubbish we can walk through with God. He's walking with us. And he'll give us that peace. He'll walk us through the difficult times. And that is what the shield of faith is there for. So that when we face this onslaught, whether it might be through ourselves, so what we think about ourselves, it might be what other people might say about us, it might be the circumstances that we go through. But all of that, we can walk with Jesus, and he'll walk with us by his Spirit and help us. But we have to take hold of the truth. We have to take hold of the righteousness. We can't be passive. This whole imagery is all about being proactive. But the shield of faith is there that we can stand behind him, knowing that God is our shield. God is our shield. For me, I'd say that by faith, I moved to Basingstoke. I don't know, in 2005, I felt God call me to Basingstoke with Margie. And we had to wait 3 years before we could get here because of opposition that we faced. By faith, I'd say that I've named my kids. Because God spoke to us a picture, certainly of my youngest son being a strong child, so we called him Andrew, if that's what it means. And then we found out that's what it meant. Yeah? So we called him Andrew and then found out that that's what a strong one means. By faith, I've found jobs. God gave me a job. He told me where he wanted me to work. They didn't know it yet. And I submitted a CV and it took me 5 interviews. 5 interviews. Who has 5 interviews to get a job? And the worst was the last one. Yeah, it really was. Because the regional director didn't like me. So he didn't want me to have the job. That was the end of it. And my manager had to fight behind the scenes. I had an ally. God, thank you. And by faith, God gave me a word when I had cancer. A word that I could repeat to myself over and over and fight against the doubts and the fears that come with that illness. But I would never consider myself to be anybody special, honestly. I don't have that high an opinion of myself. And if God will speak to me, I know that I can look around here and see any one of you, or quite a number of you, standing here and giving your testimonies of how God has led you, directed you, spoken to you, led you in all of your, across all of your lives. How are we doing for time? Better draw to a close. Faith lays hold of the promises of God in times of doubt and depression. Faith lays hold of the power of God in times of temptation. Now, the Bible would say that we don't need a lot of faith. In Matthew, it talks about if you have met faith the size of a mustard seed. You know, if I could show you a mustard seed, you wouldn't be able to see it. For all you know, I've got one in my fingers. I don't, but that's how small it is. That's how small it is. But what it comes down to is finding God in the presence of by his Spirit, spending time praying and allowing the Spirit of God to minister to you, and he will speak to you. He will speak to you because he loves you like he loves me, and he loves everybody. He has no favorites. He loves us all. But we do need to be vigilant, because these arrows will come at the time that you're not expecting, usually from people that you're not expecting them to come from. These situations, I mean, we don't have in this nation, we don't have persecution like they have in other nations. We don't have to contend for our lives to be Christians. And so there are principalities and powers that would seek to kill Christians on a national level. At a global level, we can see the wars that are going on. It is important for us to be active, to be aware that the devil has schemes. He'll whisper things to you that are not of God, that will tell you lies that we are not to listen to. In the same way that he lied to Cain and Abel, he lied to Cain. And God said to him, the devil is what's the word he used? He's crouching at your door and desires to have mastery over you. He crouches. You don't see where he is. He crouches and whispers things. And we have to be vigilant to say, I'm not going to listen to that. You know, when Jesus was in the desert, the devil, when the Spirit of God led Jesus into the desert to be tempted, Jesus' response was fasting and praying. That was the response. The Bible just says Jesus was led into the desert for 40 days. And Jesus spent that time fasting and praying. But the devil tempted him to say, look, turn those stones into bread. You can do it. You're the Son of God. You can do anything. Jesus must have been absolutely famished after 40 days. He must be absolutely famished. He tested him at his material need. But what did Jesus do? He fired back scripture And this, for me, is a great definition of faith. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What a great definition of faith. Every word that proceeds. I think I better draw it to a close now. But what I'd like us to, when we draw the meeting to a close, if you're struggling with something, yeah, if you're facing something in your life that you think I need a bit of prayer, I need a bit of help on this, then I'd like to encourage you to come up, and we'd love to pray with you. I cannot stand here and talk about a shield that is there to protect my neighbour without offering to pray. Because we're not here on our own. So if you'd like that, I'd love to pray, and I'm sure others would love to pray with you as well. So let me pray now. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus, that we can clothe ourselves with truth about him. We can clothe ourselves with knowing him, of having that right relationship with you, Lord God. And we can have our feet fitted with peace. In all circumstances, we can stand firm, even when things seem to be all shaky. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us to draw close to you and allow you to minister to us so that we can grow in faith, grow in what you're doing in each of our lives, so that we can know you more and more. Father, I pray for your blessing over everyone here. I ask that you'd pour out your Spirit upon us and lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.